I stopped in my tracks on Sunday afternoon when I got the breaking news alert that Chris Mortensen had died Sunday morning at the age of 72. I only met Mort twice, but both times he was so nice, so pleasant. What a pioneer. I started following him when he was at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Then he was at the National and, of course, ESPN, where he was always out front and covering the NFL with grace and style. A good man, a legend, Chris Mortensen, gone at the age of 72. Well, thanks so much for all of you who said hello at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference in Boston on Friday. It was great to see all the loyal Buzzcast listeners. I'll be at SBJ's Tech Week in New York City this week and would love to see you there. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, March 4th. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. In Boston on Friday, I sat in on Jessica Gelman's interview with Fanatics CEO Michael Rubin, who spoke for the first time publicly about the backlash surrounding the new Major League Baseball uniforms, with Rubin saying the company was told that they had done everything right. Michael Rubin bemoaned that Fanatics is getting criticized when it did nothing wrong and just did what Fanatics was instructed to do. Remember, Fanatics has been the primary manufacturer of MLB jerseys since they acquired Majestic in 2017. Nike handles all the design of the jerseys and the pants for Major League Baseball. They give the specs to Fanatics, which then produces the product. But despite all the criticism facing Fanatics, Rubin called Nike an incredible partner and that they're going to stick together and learn from this experience. But insiders at Fanatics are definitely feeling frustrated, believing they are getting blamed for something that is not of their doing. My colleague, SBJ's Terry Lefton, has seen many of these issues in the past. He believes this will quickly blow over and be a non-issue by the start of baseball season. Well, we shall see. But Michael Rubin speaking publicly for the first time on the issue in Boston at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. You know, it is all about Caitlin Clark. She is everywhere. What a weekend for her. What a weekend for women's college basketball. On Saturday, in her last regular season home game, she passed Pete Maravich for the most points scored by a Division I basketball player, either men's or women's. Of course, the game was a sellout. And even though the game was on Fox Sports, fans arrived early in the morning to take part in ESPN's College Game Day. And honestly, you couldn't turn on ESPN without seeing something on Caitlin Clark. The amount of coverage was all-encompassing, and after she broke the record, she was featured on NBC Nightly News and all the major news shows. And what a hot ticket it was for the game. Iowa-Ohio State tickets were the most expensive tickets in women's basketball history, college or the WNBA. That's according to records of TickPicks and StubHub. One company had the get-in prices at more than $500 for Sunday. And so you see the amount of interest in what Caitlin Clark is doing on the basketball court. And it wasn't just ESPN and Fox Sports giving all the love. So did Nike. My buddy texted me immediately after Caitlin Clark got the record as Nike released a commercial to celebrate her. And there was also a huge Nike ad featuring Caitlin Clark in Iowa City on a 7-story building. And it shows Caitlin Clark hitting a jump shot. Clark, of course, is a Nike athlete under her current name, image, and likeness deal. So again, Caitlin Clark everywhere celebrated. And what a boost this could be for the WNBA with Caitlin Clark on her way to the pros and also Angel Reese, likely not far behind. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert said their impact, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, could parallel what Larry Bird and Magic Johnson did for the NBA upon their arrival in 1979. Engelbert believes it will be a moment that the WNBA will look back and say it was a game changer for the Women's Basketball League. But a lot on Caitlin Clark and certainly more to come. You know, there's some more news in the pickleball space as Major League Pickleball and the Professional Pickleball Association completed their merger and infuse new capital into the sport. So what does this mean? Well, the merger brings together the two largest pickleball organizations into one holding company. A name for the holding company has not been determined, but the PPA Tour and MLP, Major League Pickleball, will retain their own distinct brands and formats. The move will also bring in $75 million of new investment from various groups, private equity, owners like Tom Dundon, as well as a roster of existing team owners in Major League Pickleball. Now, players have signed new multi-year contracts, with many of them set to participate in an expanded calendar that combines events throughout the year. So what can we expect to see? Well, first, we'll see higher purses for the players. We'll see more marketing and exposure. Like I said, we'll see an expanded calendar of events. And this merger could be significant. And it's interesting in that these two organizations had no love lost between them. They were fiercely competitive in every aspect of pickleball. But now they are merged and working together, and we'll have to see what this means for the sport going forward. You know, let's shift to some baseball news. I have been very open on the Buzzcast about my respect for the performance of the Atlanta Braves and the way they conduct business. And how about these most recent financial results? The latest results showed that annual revenue for the Braves exceeded $600 million for the first time last year. The Braves generated in 2023 revenue of more than $640 million. That was up $52 million from the year before. The team's performance since it moved into Truist Park has just been spectacular. And the increase in revenue comes from higher ticket demand, new sponsorships, and of course, the Battery, which is, of course, the mixed-use model that every organization in sports is trying to learn from and almost replicate or follow in their own mixed-use development. Again, if you want to see one organization that is operating well across all departments, look no further than the Atlanta Braves. What a historic weekend for NASCAR, and a name to remember as driver Roger Carruth earned his biggest victory Friday night. He became the third Black driver in NASCAR history, joining Wendell Scott and Bubba Wallace, to win a National Series race. He won the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series event at Las Vegas Motor Speedway on Friday night. Carruth is a product of NASCAR's diversity program. We've heard about his great potential for some time, and this is a very positive story for the sport. Also staying in Las Vegas, another big event, as over 40,000 fans attended the first matches in the United States for Australia's National Rugby League. That was this weekend. 40,000, that is a very healthy number, and officials have to consider this a very big success for rugby in the United States. And finally, we'll end the Buzzcast around people. A hat tip to two former 40 under 40 honorees, Sam Kennedy and Billy Hogan, have both been promoted at Fenway Sports Group. Sam Kennedy is now the new CEO of Fenway Sports Group, so he will lead the parent company overseeing the Red Sox, Liverpool, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They have a Tomorrow Golf League franchise and a number of other holdings. This is a big, influential role because we know the size, the scope, the ambitions of Fenway Sports Group. Sam Kennedy first joined the Red Sox before the 2002 season when the team was purchased by John Henry and Tom Werner. Kennedy became the president and CEO of the Red Sox in 2017. He is part of the ownership group and a partner in FSG. Now, Liverpool CEO Billy Hogan also was promoted. He is now the FSG International CEO, so will look over and lead their international efforts and ambitions. Billy Hogan is a longtime employee of Fenway Sports Group, and he was part of the acquisition team when the company purchased Liverpool back in 2010. So Fenway Sports Group is, of course, led by principal owner John Henry, chairman Tom Werner, and president Mike Gordon. But Sam Kennedy and Billy Hogan are two very key players in this company and will have an even bigger voice going forward. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, March 4th. I'm Abe Madcor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy, be good to each other. I'll speak to you on Tuesday.